Chapter 26. You don't have what it takes. I think we frequently have the wrong concept when it comes to counting the cost of following Christ. Over the pages of this book, we have had one verse drilled into our minds. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16:24. It would be easy to assume that Jesus' words call us to analyze our resolve and calculate what we must give up to follow him. But let's be clear. You don't have what it takes. I don't have what it takes. Period. Jesus said in Luke 14:33, "In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." Jesus did not say, "Whoever of you is willing to forsake all he has," nor did he say, "Whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be a good disciple." No, this statement of Christ requires absolute surrender. When Christ declared, "Whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple," he was not saying that the one who fails to forsake all isn't allowed to be his disciple. This wasn't about permission. This was about possibility. Jesus was saying, if you don't forsake all, you cannot be my disciple. It's simply not possible. Allow me to explain. If a friend handed me an extra small children's t-shirt as a gift, it would be fully appropriate for him to add, "You can't wear this shirt." It has nothing to do with permission. He isn't trying to prohibit me from wearing tight-fitting clothing. The fact of the matter is that a 6'2 man with broad shoulders couldn't possibly fit into such a garment. It's not physically possible. So it is with the call of Jesus Christ. Are you discouraged yet? Don't be. Such a wonderful, all-consuming, and fulfilling call cannot be carried out in human strength or while dragging with us the encumbrances of the world. Thus, Christ invites us into his life, into his death, into his resurrection. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, and when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with him in glory. Colossians 3:3-4. Is it any wonder that the writer of Hebrews calls us to lay aside every weight and the sin, Hebrews 12:1, prior to running the race? If you are like me, the pursuit can be frustrating. The same sins beset me. I know to do right, but find myself stumbling. Perturbed after incessant failure, I figure, what's the point? But my paradigm is off. The forgiveness of sins and my acceptance before God do not come through my own work, but through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Much of our frustrating inability to follow Christ stems from our failure to die to self. We continue striving to overcome sin and find purpose in life as though we will eventually be successful if we just exert ourselves more. But Yoda said it well, "Do or do not. There is no try." So what is the answer to our dilemma? The solution is beautifully woven and oft repeated throughout Christ's teachings. He isn't asking us to be a Mother Teresa. He is telling us to die to self every day. As Luke recorded Christ saying, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Luke 9:23. In the words of Paul, "I have been crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the power of the Son of God, who died and gave himself for me." Galatians 2:20. We cannot make Jesus Lord. He is Lord. The only question is, will we surrender to him now by choice or later by compulsion? To surrender is simply to submit to an authority. In this case, to the authority. One day, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:11. Jesus Christ doesn't want to be a part of your life. He wants all of your life. He does not ask for a portion of your life, self-denial. He desires full control, denial of self. He wants it all, everything, period. Are we adding Christ to our pre-existing plans and dreams, or are we relinquishing control to let Him write our story? My television viewing as a young child was minimal. Okay, it was practically non-existent. We had a Super 8 movie projector, which has nothing to do with the motel chain, but it wasn't until I was 10 that my family consented to owning a 9-inch television and VCR combo, when a relative offered it as a gift. Furthermore, my formative years were spent in Senegal, West Africa, far from the myriad of American TV programs that hijacked the minds of young and old alike. That said, there were a couple of shows that somehow made their way into our home on VHS tapes. If you don't know what a VHS tape is, ask someone whom you deem old. One of those was the children's program, Arthur. Can someone give a shout out to PBS? I'm not sure you can find any programming today more innocuous than Arthur. But upon closer consideration, we find the mindset of the world even in this kids' show's theme song. Remember the catchy tune? It's a simple message and it comes from the heart. Believe in yourself, and that's the place to start. I would suggest that believing in yourself is the place to be damned, not to start. Believe me, I'm not against Arthur. It's a cute show. But the mindset embedded in their memorable little program permeates society. Such thinking teaches us to make the Word of God subservient to our own feelings and ideas. God will not adjust the truth to fit our beliefs, nor will He force us to believe in Him and what He has revealed in the Scriptures. In this journey, we have been taking a fresh look at the person of Jesus Christ and what it means to become like Him, laying down our temporal existence and desires in order to give ourselves to an eternal, glorious quest. Over the course of this book, it has not been my goal to tell you what to believe. My purpose has been simply to listen to what Jesus said and ask, what if He meant what He said? And if Jesus meant what He said, what will that look like in our lives?